So we're in the Luke version of the parable of the sower. Starting in verse 4, it says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word and from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Keep going to the next little section. It says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand for those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." All right. Am I a little too hot? Can you turn the mic just a little bit down there? Thanks. All right, so what's happening? It's the same day as he's been dealing with what we've been talking about, dealing with Pharisees, dealing with being accused of stuff. We talked last week about the purpose of parables. I want to come back to this parable this week and just go through it. Keeping in mind that Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people here. It's some are disciples, some are Pharisees. There's a group of people here that's followed him from town to town. Okay, he's not just, you know, they care enough and are interested enough that they're leaving their town for a period of time to follow him and see what he has to say, see what he's going to do. So Jesus, you know, from his perspective, he's looking at this crowd. He sees a strange mix of people, some against him, some for him, some in between. And he decides, this is the message I want to give to him, this parable, that some will hear it, some won't, but I'm going to give this message. And what he really says in this parable about different soils is he's showing that there's different ways to listen to the word of God. The sower and the seeds are constants in this, okay? The sower is Jesus. The seeds are the word of God. They're not changing. It's not different words. The point of it isn't that there's differences there. The variable, the thing that's different in producing fruit, is always the soil, okay? So he's saying that there's this soil here, and it's going to produce really good crop. There's these soils here that aren't going to produce anything. This soil is going to produce for a little bit, and then it's not going to produce full mature fruit. And what these soils are different ways to hear the word of God. This is one way. This is another way to hear the word of God. This is another way. And I think, well, let's just look at each soil and see what we think about this. The first one is the paths. And according to Jesus' interpretation, he steals seed from this soil, Satan does. The path is hardened ground. If you think about it, if you picture a field or a crop, there's these paths that wind their way in between the crops. It's walked on often, and it's hard, okay? It's going to be hard, harder than the rest of the soil. And because of that, seed's not allowed to go deep. And if it's just sitting on the outer surface, then it's so easy for birds to come eat it away. If it goes deep into the dirt at all, it's just obvious. It protects from birds, it protects from other things. But what's happening here is that since it's not allowed to have any depth, it sits on the outside, Satan can come and steal it away right away. And it's easy for him to do. And so, first challenge from this parable then is not to allow hardness of heart. Don't allow the word of God to come, and because you have hardness in your heart, that don't let it sit on the outside of your heart and not go in at all, and don't let Satan come take it away so easy. I did just a little study about what causes a hardened heart. Last week we covered how the Lord himself sometimes hardens. This week I just have two other things to add to that. Sin, obviously, is one thing that's going to harden your heart. And how I'm taking this, how I want to explain it, is that in general there's a person who fits this soil, okay, who's going to be so hardened they don't hear the word of God at all. And I also think that, like, in me, there's probably some pockets of hardness where in a certain area maybe the Lord, his message isn't getting through to me because I have a hardened heart in a certain area as a Christian, okay? So take it both ways. Take it, applying it to yourself, and taking it to people groups. So sin, Ephesians 4, 18 and 19, don't turn there. It just says, they are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Okay. So what happens is so if I'm tempted to sin, okay, and the Holy Spirit, if I'm a believer, I'm coming and, or even if not, the Holy Spirit's coming, he's convicting me, don't do this sin. Choose God, choose life, choose joy in Christ. And what I have to do to sin, if you think about what's going on inside your heart, I really have to say no to the Holy Spirit, and I really almost have to tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet. And I have to harden myself to him to be able to sin, okay? I have to shut down what he's telling me to do, completely reject it, and choose this other thing. So I'm hardening my heart to what the Lord's saying if I'm choosing sin. So sin, and this is why sin's progressive. If you notice, every sin is progressive. This is why it scares me when I see, young men in the Lord think that if they just do this couple things, they'll be all right, they'll get their act together eventually. That scares me because I know that sin will always progress. Because what it says here is that if they have hardness in their heart, they become callous, and then they give themselves up to sensuality, they become greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So a hardened heart produces sin in your life, and sin in your life then produces an even harder heart, and a heart, and so on and so on. So you get into a cycle. Once you start one, you sin, you harden your heart, and you sin. This happens over and over until Christ comes in and by his grace redeems you from that cycle. That makes sense? Okay? So the other one is self. You just have a flat choice to harden your heart. Hebrews 3 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There's a couple commands like this in Scripture. You choose. Don't harden your heart. Okay? And it's the same way, whether it's sin or whether it's just rejecting what the Lord's calling you to do, whether you're hearing his voice and you don't want to hear it, just rejecting him, don't harden your heart, okay? You have some choice in this matter. Second soil is going to be rocky places. And if you picture, don't picture just some rocks in a field, picture like limestone brick, okay? And you would know this if you ever shovel anything. You try to shovel and you get about this deep and there's this huge, huge rock all over the place. That's kind of what he's saying here. Right underneath the surface, there's giant rock, and there's a little tiny bit of soil. So picture it like that, because that's what he's getting at. Because what happens is, because there's such little soil, roots can't go deep, and what happens is the sun comes and it scorches the roots, and there's no moisture, and ultimately, how Jesus interprets it, is that it's the person's situation that kills the seed. It's persecution and tribulation and trials of this life. And you notice that every person, after you're saved, after you accept the Lord, you're going to go through some major season of trial. That's why we don't tell people it's all good from here, okay? Because you're going to go through, probably sooner rather than later, you're going to go through a season of trial. And what it's going to do is it's either going to prove what you believed to be true in your heart, and you're going to be all the better for it, and your faith is going to be even more in the Lord, or it's going to completely kill the seed that was put in you, and it's going to prove that your faith was never real to start with. So this is why, this soil is why in verse 15, when he's talking about the good soil, it says that the person with the good soil, they hold the word fast, and they bear fruit with patience, okay? That's why it says that, because they don't come in and and lose the seed quickly from trials. They hang on to it. And what's the key to getting through a season of trial and not losing seed the Lord's planted in you? You're believing God, you're hearing the word, you're excited about it, you're going, and then this bad season comes. What's the key to getting through that? What's the difference between people who fall away in those times and those who don't? Stand by faith. Good. Yeah, it's just faith. It proves what your faith is in. It proves if your faith is truly in the Lord, if your faith is in something else. Jeremiah 17, if you're taking notes, verses 7 and 8, this is going to be the exact opposite of this soil. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Okay? The key there is the key of this whole section is trust. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Okay? So the guy who's trusting in the Lord, doesn't matter how hot the sun gets, they always have moisture, it's always producing fruit, and it gets through trials. Okay? Person who doesn't have faith in the Lord is going to burn up quickly. Third soil is going to be the thorns. If you catch what happens here, I think Satan's at least a little bit behind all these, and what he does is he tries to steal immediately. And then if he doesn't snatch it immediately, he tries to bring trials that kill it. And if that doesn't happen, he also has this backup plan almost, where he plants other things along with the seeds that the Lord planted. And this one happens a little bit further down the road. So what's happening here is the plants, the seeds planted, and it's growing, and at the same time you have thorns growing with it. And the thorns and the good plant planted next to each other, the thorn steals nutrients from it, and it's also going to grow up with it, and it's going to surround it and block sunlight and choke it out. And so we got two things growing together, and it just doesn't work. Eventually, the good plant dies. And this is a big one for us, because I think this is what us in America are probably most prone to this one. Because Jesus describes it as cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desire for other things. Okay? So in your walk with the Lord, this is why it's so important to mind checks that the Holy Spirit gives you. You know what I mean by that? When the Holy Spirit tells you something, it's so important to obey, even if it seems like it's not that big a deal. It might be okay if I disobey. Okay? Wealth is so deceiving. And that's what we tend to think, is that if I get this extra amount of money, the Lord's really blessed me. Not always, okay? Sometimes I think Satan would rather you have more money if you have it in your heart that you're going to allow that to distract you. I love Proverbs 30. It says, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. And here's the point. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that's needful for me, unless I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. And so, if I don't have enough, I'm going to steal, but if I have too much, I'm going to forget God. And I guarantee we've probably all seen this a million times, where the guy just is wealthy, and he's cruising through life, and doesn't need God, and might believe in God, but isn't producing much fruit, and then he loses his job. You guys know this testimony? He loses his job, and then has his savings and his income dwindle, and he has no money, and he has to start trusting the Lord. Fruit just starts exploding from him. I'm thinking of a specific guy. But fruit just starts exploding from people like that. And as their trust in the world and in things just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And what really is happening is the Lord is exchanging poverty, or exchanging your riches for faith and true faith in God. And of course you're going to produce fruit. You're going to flourish in those seasons. And so don't be deceived again by wealth. It might look like you're doing all right for a while, but eventually it chokes. And finally, we have the good soil, which is him who hears with an honest and good heart and holds fast to the word like it's the most essential thing in their life. There's a proactive hanging on to it that happens with the last soil person. And they bear fruit with patience, and they produce continual, lasting, and abundant fruit. So, just to show you guys what I'm doing here, I read through this, and I'm taking my notes. I read through it several times throughout the week. I write out what each little section's saying, what's Jesus saying. But I've got to keep in mind, what's the big picture here? What I don't want to just throw out a bunch of little facts. I want to keep in mind, what is the big thing that God's, or Jesus is trying to get a point, the point across? And so I'm thinking, I'm not seeing it here. I'm looking, I'm praying about it. I'm just pacing my house. I decide to keep reading. 16 says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it. We talked about that. 17 says, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And then 18, okay? Take care then how you hear, okay? There it is. That's the main point that Jesus is trying to get across. Now I can pick up little things out of what he's already taught. I can get that wealth is deceitful. And I can get that there's some soils that just the word of God can't flourish in. I can pick up why and get little lessons out of it. But the main thing you need to take from this is the charge to take care how you hear. And when he does this, he's saying, take care. He's meaning pay special attention to how you're hearing. Okay? Don't be careless about how you're hearing. Pay attention to what heart you're hearing the word of God in. Because what's going to come from hearing, just from this section alone, I can see if I'm hearing correctly, what's going to be produced is sometimes salvation, sometimes fruitfulness, sometimes spreading of God's light, people being drawn to God, and ultimately the glory of God. All these things in this section are hanging on hearing the word of God properly. And there's three out of four soils that don't hear the word properly. That should wake us up a little bit. Three out of four don't hear the word properly. So I just wondered. I started thinking, and as I finally dawned on me, this is what he's saying. He's telling me to take care of how I hear. I started thinking, when is the last time I really proactively thought through, how am I going to hear the word of God preached today? So this is what I did. Last night, I'm thinking through this. I'm like, when have I ever prepared my heart on a Saturday night to hear the word preached on a Sunday morning? Okay? I thought through that. So, like, I was watching a TV show last night, and for the first time ever, you know what I did? I shut the show off, okay? I said, why don't I just pray? And because I got to do this if I'm going to teach it. And I said, why don't I just pray and ask the Lord to give me a good heart to hear the word tomorrow, okay? Sunday morning, instead of running around, sleeping as late as I can and running around and trying to get everything done, why don't I get up 2 hours early and spend time in the word and pray and prepare my heart? That's what, okay, take care how you hear the word. Because everything, all this stuff is going to be produced from how you hear. Young people, you know, this is just practical things. Saturday night seems to be like the party night where you stay up late, even if it's good, clean fun. You're staying up late, staying up till 3 in the morning, rolling in late, falling asleep in church. That's normal youth. And it is, right? And I wish it was different. I wish that our culture had a value on hearing the word, you know, so much that we would look forward to it throughout the week. And Saturday nights, we would spend thinking, I get to hear the word preached tomorrow. I want to make sure I don't waste it. I got to be careful. I'll tell you this, 2 weeks ago, you know, I do the sermons. I edit them, and I type them up. And I always know there's a pretty big problem if I get to Tuesday and I can't remember what the sermon was about, you know, if I have to type up stuff about it. And so 2 weeks ago, I did that. I couldn't remember what the sermon was about. And I was thinking, I was like, and I know why. I look back to my Sunday after church, you know, I went home, and instead of stirring my heart about the word or praying or really pressing it in, I went home and I stressed about something breaking down and talking to a guy on the phone that trying to work out some deal on Craigslist. And I spent 3 hours stressing and completely lost the word, okay? Completely lost whatever Sam preached about. And it's because cares of this world and you know, deceitfulness of riches, and I lost what was happening. And so here's what you can do as a couple examples. This is of utmost importance to value preaching, value it, look forward to it, prepare yourself for it, value that you get to hear this, that you're, that there's several people that don't. Value sleep, value how, you know, how you're going to approach, how you're going to come in. If you have a huge job interview, okay, you're not going to stay up till 3 and roll into that with almost no sleep, you know, because we value job interviews, the chance to get a better job, we value that. Value preaching the word in the same way, whether it's here, whether it's on the radio, whatever. Come in searching with a hungry and humble and teachable spirit. Okay, be teachable. Don't come in with a chip on your shoulder thinking you know more than Sam and thinking you know more than me. Well, you probably do. But come in. You're going to get at least one thing if the word's truly being preached, that the Holy Spirit's going to stir up in you. Come in with a teachable spirit. Know that there's one thing at least I can draw from this, even the most simple of messages. Make yourself pay attention. Okay, that's a tough one. It's really, really tough. We're not really made in our culture to sit and listen for, you know, more than 10 minutes. And it's hard to sit and listen to a sermon. I'll tell you, just practical, what I did, Spencer called me out on this one time for my temptation to be on my phone in meetings or in church or something. That's a really big temptation. And so, you know what I did? Instead of having, I have an iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you have, the bottom four things you go to all the time. Okay, and I had Facebook down there and internet down there. I got rid of both of them, okay? And instead, I got, I have a Bible scripture memorizing app, and I got a Bible app. And you know how much that saved my heart? Getting rid of internet and Facebook off my phone and replacing it with the Word. So when I'm bored now, instead of clicking on Facebook for the 100th time in one day and scrolling through about what's happening with everyone, okay, seeing if someone comments on something, I click on the Bible, and I read even a small section, or I memorize a verse every week, okay? Really cool app. If you guys want that app, ask me about it. But Word is going into my heart instead of the world. And one last thing, last practical thing. I'm out of time, I know. Talk about the sermon. Men, you know, go home and stir up in your families the Word of God. Go home and talk to your kids about what the sermon was about and what they think, and take the direction that Sam's given us and take it farther and deeper in your own families. Okay? Stir up the Word in people, and don't go home. You know, it's easy to go home and want to watch the Chiefs and want to do, you know, there's a lot of things for us to focus on. This is just my charge, to take this parable, make the Word essential in your life, and pay special close attention to how you hear. So I'm out of time. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. I just pray that would go into all of us, just that call to hear your word properly, Father. I pray you do that today. Prepare us to hear your word. Remove distractions, Lord. Let your word be greater than the distractions of today. Lord, we thank you for how powerful your word is, how much it'll produce in us if we hear it properly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.